Well, good morning to each of you. Is it not on? I'm from Louisiana, and my testimony this morning is I'm on the winning side. I am endeavoring to all that I know how to follow the captain of the Lord of hosts. And I'm encouraged this morning that I don't believe that he has ever experienced the taste of defeat. And because he's invited me to follow him, the options are limitless for me. And I'm encouraged with that today to draw closer to the Lord, to be able to enjoy the power of the Lord in a greater way. The scripture says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you believe that? And I've written on the board, we lacked nothing. And that's the burden of my heart this morning. That as we live for the Lord, there is nothing that we need that we will lack. We sang that song earlier this morning that said, if I had 10,000 lives, I'd give them all to thee. Would you do that this morning? You know, I was sitting there singing that song, and we've sang that song for years, and there's been a lot of years I've thought about that thought. But just one. What if I just had one life? Kind of live how I wanted to live it. I'm probably not the only one that's thought that, am I? Do you know which life you would probably have the most trouble in? It'd be that one. When we follow the Lord, he has a plan for us where we lack nothing that we need. And that's what I want to challenge you with and encourage you today. As you draw closer to the Lord, it's kind of like a magnet. The closer those magnets get, the more power there is. I don't want to stay on the outside, just kind of maintaining my distance and current level of power in my life. I want to continuously draw closer to my Lord, that I might be able to feel a greater degree of power and strength and victory in my life as each day passes. And it's possible for every one of us to do that. I'd like to start this morning in the 22nd chapter of Luke, and I desire an interest in your prayers. I know you've heard preachers say, I desire an interest in your prayers. That sounds kind of like a canned way to start. But sometimes I've been guilty of not praying for the preacher when he gets up right then. And I'd ask you this morning if you could say a little prayer for me in your spirit, that the Lord would bless the words that he has, that they would be beneficial, encouraging, challenging, because we want to get to heaven. So I'd like to start in the 22nd chapter of Luke, and we'll start reading in the 31st verse, but just a little background. We heard Brother Doug started with this similar setting in a different book maybe, but this was the Last Supper, and the Lord was with his disciples in that place, and he had just gotten finished telling his disciples that one of them was going to betray him. A very serious declaration to make. After the time he had spent with them, and then to tell them, one of you is going to betray me. And they began to talk with each other and asking themselves, well, which one of us is it going to be? And the striking thing to me about that was, it seems like it wasn't too long later and they were talking about who's going to be the greatest in heaven. It seemed like they lost focus really fast. They had a very serious thing to consider. And before long, their human flesh got in the way of what they thought was most important. And instead of worrying most about their souls, worrying most about how they were following the Lord, they quickly got diverted and began to wonder who was going to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That's a challenge to me in life. Like us to keep that in mind. So they began to talk a little bit, and the Lord said in the 31st verse, he said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said nothing. He began to tell Peter here, he said, Simon, Simon, he said, Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat. The enemy desired to take away the good that they had had. And I believe he was talking to all the apostles, about all of them. Satan desired to come and take away from you that which you had. And we know the story. It wasn't long before Peter was standing back from afar, and the Lord was on trial, and the maid and different ones came and said, aren't you with the Lord? Didn't I see you with Him? And we know that Peter denied. He came to the place where he felt like that if he would clearly align himself with the Lord, it was going to place him in a less desirable place, right? Because he thought, oh, I'm going to be persecuted. If I align myself directly and say, yes, that is who I am aligned with, I will find myself in a less desirable place. I will put myself in the place where I may be persecuted or it may cost my life. Didn't he? He must have thought that. And I wonder this morning how many times we find ourselves in the same place that the enemy comes and he says, listen, Rod, be careful about how closely you align yourself with the Lord. Be careful about how far you go with them. Be careful how close you get. Because if you go too far, if you align yourself too closely, you'll find yourself in a less desirable place. Have you ever thought that? Young folks, have you ever thought that? I suspect you have, unless I'm just different from everybody. Because I remember, I've thought that different times, especially in my younger years. I liked sports, I liked being with people, I liked going, and I'd look out there and I'd think, but if I align myself too closely, what is it going to do for me in my life? What is going to happen? Am I going to be found in a less desirable place? My testimony to you is today, I'm 44 years old and I don't have one regret. I have no regrets. The way of the Lord is the best way, but the enemy is a liar. And he comes and he tries to deceive. He tries to distort reality. He tries to get us to believe that if you align yourself too close, if you let go of the things that you believe that you need most in life, you're going to find yourself lacking. My message to you this morning is, the way of the Lord does not include a life where you lack what you need in life, but quite the contrary. I want us to be encouraged with that. And I wonder if Peter, if he would have been able to get a vision, a broader vision, when they approached him and said, are you one of the Lord? I wonder if time could have stopped for a moment. And the Lord in Peter's eyes would have been opened at that time. And flashing before his eyes, he would have beheld that Mount of Transfiguration again. If he would have beheld the empty tomb with the Lord risen and gone and powerful, if he would have seen the ascension of the Lord, if he would have had a vision of the Spirit coming down and enduing them with power, I wonder if then he would have blinked and looked at her and said, yes, I am His. I am His follower. That is who I am aligned with. I wonder if that would have happened had he had that vision. And I wonder this morning, I wonder if that's part of what the Lord was trying to get across to us. When he preached to the church at Laodicea, do you remember when he talked to the church and he said, you're not hot and you're not cold. You're lukewarm. You're somewhere you don't have a whole lot to offer. And he said, because of that, I'll spew you out of my mouth. But he was giving them a chance. And he told them, he said, you think that you're rich and increased with goods. Don't we often think that as Christians sometimes? My message, my burden this morning actually is more for the saints than it is for sinners. Because I feel like we leave on the table something the Lord has for us. The Lord wants us to have more than a religion. He wants us to have more than just following a set of rules that we can go to bed each night and feel like, well, I followed the set of rules. The saints still accept me as one of them. I believe there are places in our lives that the Lord wants us to see our need. And He told him, He said, you think you're rich and you say you're rich and increased with goods. But He said, know you not that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You have need in your life. And He went on, He said, I counsel thee. And I believe the Lord wants us this morning as Christians to take counsel. Saints, take counsel from the Word. Take counsel. He said, I counsel you that ye buy some gold tried in the fire. And that you put on white raiment that the shame of thy nakedness would not appear. But listen to what He said next. He said, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that ye might be able to see. I believe the Lord wants us to have a greater vision today. Yes, I believe that part of this that He was saying there, He wants us to be able to recognize our need and our lack and those places in our lives where He wants to give us something more than what we have. I believe that. But I also believe He wants our eyes to be open to the power that He would like to give every one of us. Amen. I believe He wants our eyes to be opened as saints, as Christians, to have a greater vision that, Lord, if I'm just able to unload this burden, Lord, if I have a vision that I can give this to You and that You'll take care of it, that I won't lack. Don't we carry loads sometimes? As Christians, don't sometimes we let things work? I'm speaking from experience. I have a lot of experience at this. Carry anxieties. Carry loads. Worry about how it's going to turn out. And I believe the Lord has an experience for His saints that He wants our eyes to be opened in a greater measure. That, Lord, You have all power. You have a Sabbath rest for us. He did a work in the beginning and it said He rested. Remember that on the seventh day, it said that He rested. And in the New Testament, He said, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us, we seem to come short of what? Of entering into His rest. That's a Sabbath rest that He has for us because the work that He did was a perfect work. It takes care of everything. And when we are children of God, following after the captain of the Lord of hosts, His work is perfect. And we can unload our needs. We can unload our burdens. We can take the things that lie close to our hearts that cause us to lose sleep and say, Lord, I'm going to give this to You. And He wants to take it. Oh, He wants our eyes to be open today, to be willing to give Him everything. He's asking us to trust Him. Yes, He's looking for a people that is unspotted from the world. He's looking for a people that are willing to give up all of the things that this world would come and tempt us with and draw us with. There's so many idols in the world today that, well, we feel like that if we let go of them completely, we're going to be lacking, don't we sometimes? The Lord wants us to step off of that curb. He wants us to leave that stuff behind. I thought of blind Bartimaeus. Do you remember? He had a need in his heart. And he needed something from the Lord. And before he received his eyesight, he stepped away from his curb. And the scripture said he left his garments behind him. He stepped out in faith. Might lose his place on the curb. Somebody else might fill it. If it didn't work out, he might not have that place to come back to. But he went out. And it said the Lord, he said, what do you want? He said, I want to see. And the Lord gave him sight. And what did he do after he gave him sight? What did Bartimaeus do? Do you remember? It said he followed Him. He received sight. And then because he received his sight, he followed the Lord. Yeah. And my burden this morning is that the Lord wants our vision to be opened in a greater way so that we will follow Him in a greater way. Because the Lord has greater strength and greater victory and more to give us. He's not just trying to take away everything from us. That's what the enemy says. Be careful, young people. You don't want to get too close to this sanctification thing. Watch out for that. Leave that till later in life. That's for the mature Christians. You go that route, you're going to have to give up all of these things and you are going to be left in a less desirable place. Is that what the Lord's intent is for us? Is that what He's asking us to do, young people, to empty ourselves of ourselves, to leave ourselves empty? Is that the plan of God so that we can say, Lord, You are a great person. I feel empty, but You're great. You're a great... No! He's asking us to empty ourselves of ourselves so He can fill us. That's what He wants to do. The lady, the woman that came to the well, she came with a purpose in heart to fill her jug with water from the earth because she believed that that's what she needed to satisfy herself. But I want to tell you something. She came to the well made by the hands of man, and she was ready to fill up her jug, but she met the Master. And when she got finished with the Master, she forgot all about her empty jug. She was filled with the water of life that superseded what she could get from the earth. And she had a message that then she was consumed with to go run back and tell the others, I found it. You found what? You find the well? Where's your jug? You look empty. This doesn't make sense. It's hot out here. No, I found it. What did you find? I found the water of life. I met the Master. I met the One who knows it all. And He's calling you today. He's calling me as a Christian, as a saint. He wants to tell me, I have something for you. I have a water of life for you that is... will take you beyond where you are today. Are you in a place as a Christian today and you feel like, well, I believe I'm saved, but it just doesn't seem like I have the victory and the power that other people have? Maybe it's because you're trying to contaminate the water of life with your own water. God wants us to make a clean break from this. He wants us to be willing to come to Him and just offer Him all that we have and all that we are, and let Him do the work. When they offered up the little fish, the couple of fishes and the bread, what if they would have held back and said, well, this isn't going to do it. This isn't going to satisfy the problem. It was when they were willing to say, don't know how this is going to work, but I'm giving away the little that I have that I think will satisfy me. We are apt to hold on to those things. Say, I might not have everything, but I have this, and I don't want to give that up, because if I give this up, I'll be left with nothing. That's what the enemy tells us, doesn't he? Young people, that's what he tells you. If you can't do this, and you can't do this, and you can't go there, and you got to look like this, and you can't mingle with this group, and well, wait till you're older for that kind of stuff. That's what the enemy tries to say. That is a lie. It's false. It's not true. It's a lie of the enemy. God is saying, give me what you have. Put it on the altar. Those things that you don't want to let loose of, put it on the altar. And what happened when they gave Him the fish and the loaves? It was multiplied beyond measure. When the Lord told the disciples that were out fishing on the boat and He said, cast your nets on the other side, they could have said, Lord, we've been doing that. We've tried that. We're tired. All You're making us do is be more tired, do things that don't make sense. How many times have we heard that? Well, that just doesn't make sense to me. Not going to do it till it makes sense. You'll go through your whole life with it not making sense, but I want to tell you this. When they put their nets on the other side and they pulled in more fish than they'd ever seen in their lives, it made sense then. It made sense then, and the Lord wants it to make sense to you and to me. He wants us to be willing to get out of the boat and walk on the water to Him. Say, well, that doesn't make sense. It's never happened to me. Well, how about giving it a try? Be willing to give what you have to the Lord. Be willing to take some risks, if I can say it that way. Be willing to step out. Daniel and the three Hebrew children, they got to the place where they said, don't know how this is going to work completely, but I want to tell you this, King. No matter what happens, we have a God that can save us. But if He doesn't, we are not going to bow down to these things that are contrary to our God. And when they did that, and when they put their lives on the line, it was then that they walked with the fourth man that looked like the Son of God and was the Son of God. Amen. Have you ever walked in the fire and all of a sudden there was another person walking with you? You got to walk in the fire before He'll show up sometimes. Sometimes the Lord's saying, you step out for me. Align yourself with me. And we say, Lord, I don't know how this is going to turn out. Looks like my life is at stake, but I'll do it. Sometimes that's when our greatest blessings are. It's when you step out and when you let go those things that maybe you're addicted to or you're just trying to manage so that you can still say I'm a Christian, but you don't just give it up all the way. You know what I'm talking about? But they hinder you and they're a weight and they pull on you. Why don't you let go of it? Try it. See what happens. The three Hebrew children walked back out of there in a manner like they had never walked in. They came out with an experience that the Lord gave them and everybody else like they had never seen before. Daniel said, I will continue to align myself with my God. And he opened the window and he prayed to his God regardless of what it looked like could happen to him. And he got the opportunity to use a lion as a pillow. And he had nothing, no harm came to him. He lacked nothing. To the contrary, he came out of there a new man with a broadened vision because he stepped out in faith. That is what God wants us to do today. He has a power. He has a work. He's the same God that they served. And he wants us to have the same faith that they had. He wants us to be willing to say, Lord, I'll go with you all the way. I will surrender all. I will stop the business of trying to concoct a mixed drink. God is not into mixed drinks today. It does not work to take the water from the world and mix it with the water of salvation and think that you're going to go away with the power that God has for us. Have you ever tried to drink out of two cups at the same time? One has milk and one has Kool-Aid and you're going to drink them both at the same time. What do you think is going to happen? You ought to try it sometime. You'll make a mess. You'll confuse yourself and the cups. You won't enjoy either one of them. It doesn't work. It never has worked. But I'm going to get a little closer than that. Because you know what we do? We say, well, this doesn't work very well. That doesn't work. I need to choose. And one cup says, I'm a Christian. Holiness unto the Lord. Embossed on the side of the cup. The other one says, sin, flesh, world. And we look at those cups and we say, well, I got to choose one of them. I don't want to choose this one. That doesn't look very good. Sin, flesh, the world. And so you know what we do? We pour a little bit of it into the cup that has the water of life. Because then we can go through life and say, I'm a Christian too. I'm a Christian too. I'm just like you are. And then we wonder why we don't have the power. Then we wonder why we don't have the victory. Then we sit here and listen to our brother and sister have a testimony and we feel nothing. And we think, why don't I have that? Why do you think you don't have that? Because you're trying to mix drinks and it doesn't work. God is not a two-part epoxy. He doesn't need a hardener. He doesn't need an additive. He doesn't need an additive to make life a little bit more pleasant. He doesn't need I know who I am and I know how I kind of have to live life. So I'm going to add a little bit here. He does not need us to season what He's already put together. He has it perfect from the beginning. And that's the only place we will find a Sabbath rest. That's the only place we'll find the power. You start dumping in your own stuff, you're going to find there's a problem. And you're going to get discouraged. And I always feel sorry for the Lord when people, they live for the Lord, sort of. But they don't go all the way. They've customized what salvation can be. Don't you hear that today? Isn't that more and more what we began to hear is, well, I don't see it that way.
Well, I don't think that's necessary. Well, I haven't found in the scriptures where it exactly says that this is what you have to do. You see, this is part of what happened here. The Lord came down and we read where he asked Peter, he said, when I sent you out and I told you not to take purse or script or shoes, did you lack anything? Didn't have a long drawn out answer to that. We lacked nothing. We didn't lack anything. How do you think it would have been if the Lord asked that question and they would have tried to sneak in a little bit of purse and script and shoes? Remember when the Lord told them, send them out, take the gospel, and he said, don't take any of that. Now, I can just hear him. Hey, Peter, you know, the Lord said not to take any shoes, but you know what I really think he meant was, I really think he was just telling us he wants us to have faith in him. And he told us not to take a purse or script. I mean, I know he said that, but what do you think, Andrew? Yeah, I think you're right. I think what he really meant was, he knows our hearts. He wants us to have faith in him. It ought to be okay. Sound familiar? And so what if that is what they would have done? Snuck in a little purse, a little script, a little shoes. And then you fast forward and the Lord says, you remember when I told you not to take any purse, script, or shoes? Did you lack anything? Peter, what is that blister on your, what's that blister on your toe for? Well, the shoes I took, they wore out, and when I got done with those pair of shoes, I never got another pair. You know what? When you go in your own strength and you want to customize salvation, let me tell you what you're going to be left with. You're going to be left with whatever it is you took. You remember when the Lord said the Pharisees and the scribes, they had their reward? They did. They had their reward. Peter and the rest of them, they had had their reward too. They had a pair of sandals, a little extra money and script. But the presence of the Lord, the power of the Lord would have had to back off because they didn't obey. And then they'd have wondered, why isn't the Lord providing for us? Why isn't the Lord helping us? My sandals are falling apart. I ran out of money and nothing's coming in. And then we blame it on God because we're lacking. I don't want to live that way. I want to live my life so that when the Lord says, Rod, when I told you not to do these things, did you lack anything? I want to be able to say, no, Lord, I didn't lack anything. And I don't want to be in the place where I say, but Lord, you know, you told us that. But when I looked over the Old Testament and the writings and your scriptures, I never really found where the scriptures totally exactly said this, A, B, and C. I mean, I know the principles were this, but you didn't totally exactly say this. I am not interested in living my life where I'm trying to see how much of what I want to do I can take on and still justify technically sort of should be in compliance with the word of the Lord. I'm not interested in that. And that's not where the power is. And if you're here today and you're a Christian and you're kind of, maybe you're lukewarm, maybe you want to live for the Lord, but you're afraid to let go. God wants us to be willing to let go of that other cup. And he's not interested in us taking the cup that says I'm a Christian. All that does is takes away from who he is when we dilute it with what we want. And then others look at us and say, are you a Christian? Well, yeah, that's the cup I'm drinking out of. Boy, isn't it good? Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I sure have a lot of battles in life. It seems like, well, we are going to have battles, but the scripture says he's greater than the battles. And he has a power for us, and he wants us to experience that power. Amen. Do you have it today? Yes, are you experiencing it? I am challenged with this. As a Christian, I'm challenged with this. Amen. I feel like that the Lord has specifically challenged me with Rod. I have more for you than what you have. You need to be well. Open your eyes. Let me anoint your eyes with the eye salve of the Holy Spirit, that you can have a broader vision of the blessings and the power and the anointing and how I'll supply your needs. Be willing to do it. This morning, are you seeking first the kingdom of God? Are you truly, honestly seeking first? I don't want to get up there and have him say, or have me tell him, you mean you meant what you said? Because I feel like so many times we try to interpret away the simple gospel. Yes, I meant what I said. Seek first. Do what you have to draw closer to me. I meant it when I said you're going to be separate from the world. I meant it when I said that the gods of the world, that the Lord wasn't part of, and that you needed to be separate from that for my blessings to flow. I meant that. No, I didn't need you to be like the world to reach the world. You don't have to do that. The world doesn't need more of the same. The world needs a power that God has. That's what they need, and I can't bring it to them by diluting it with what they already have. Why would I think that that works for me as a Christian? The Lord came to save me from that, not to add to it. May God help us. I want to read the verse in the 34th chapter of Psalms, in the 8th verse. In Psalms 34 and 8, he said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Have you tasted? You can be willing. Taste just what He has. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Listen, if you don't like it, the devil will always take you back. You don't have to worry about that. If you're afraid that you're going to really put yourself behind, don't fear. The devil's right there. He'll take you back anytime. Be willing to taste and see that the Lord is good. For there is no want to them that fear Him, it says in the 9th verse. The young lions, they lack and they suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall what? Not want any good thing. It's a promise. It's for you. It's for me. It works. And we say, well, but it hasn't seemed to be working for me. Reevaluate what you're drinking from. Reevaluate what you haven't been willing to let go of. It works. And the Lord wants us to come and taste what He has so that we'll know it's better than what we left behind. Isaiah said, butter and honey shall he eat so that he'll know to refuse the evil and do the good. Until you taste of butter and honey, you don't know what sweet is. You might taste dirt all your life, and there might be different varieties of dirt. And you know, some varieties of dirt probably taste better than other varieties. And if you taste long enough, you'll come to the place and you'll say, now this is sweet dirt right here. This is where it's at. And I don't want to give this up. And somebody comes along and says, have you ever tried butter and honey? I haven't tried that, but I'm satisfied with this right here. It is pretty good. We say, no, this is butter and honey. You ought to try it. And so you know what we do? We're so used to the good taste in dirt, we take the butter and the honey and our good taste in dirt and we season the butter and the honey with the dirt. And then we say, boy, this sure doesn't taste like you're describing. Really? Get rid of the dirt. You won't have to worry about that. God is wanting us to give Him our whole life. He wants us to be willing to surrender it all. He wants us to be willing to taste it. Have you truly tasted it? Have you given Him a chance? He wants you to have the testimony. Yes, Lord, we lacked nothing. We went the way that You asked us to. We didn't understand it. We were a little fearful. We were going to acknowledge that fire looked pretty hot. We're going to acknowledge we didn't have any more fish. We had no more loaves. But Lord, we followed You, and blessed be the name of the Lord. We lack nothing. I fear this morning that we leave power and victory on the table that is ours to have. I believe the Lord has this pile on the table that says Rod's Bounty. And He wants me to have it. And He's out there, and I'm out there laboring for that which satisfies not. And I'm trying to buy things that is not bread. But then I come and I drink out of the cup that says I'm a Christian, and I got a lot of good stuff in there, but I got too much of myself in there. And then I wonder why I'm not satisfied. God is calling us this morning to come and just give it up. He wants us to go away with this testimony. I lacked nothing. I want to live my life so that when I get to the end of the way, listen, look, I know there's places in my, there's some of that dirt that's in my life, but I want to have a perfect heart to the Lord. When He touches it, I want to say, yes, Lord. That's the problem. That's what was causing me not to have victory. Here it is, Lord. The Scripture in the Old Testament said that the Lord's eyes run to and fro across the whole earth looking for those whose heart is perfect toward Him so that He can be powerful and mighty on their behalf. The Lord's up there looking, who can I show my power on behalf of? Who can I help? And He's looking for the people who are willing to give it all. He's looking for the people who are willing to step out in faith and say, I'll do it, Lord. Count me in. I don't understand it, but here am I. What would You have me to do? And I believe this morning that as we do that, the Lord will touch on places in our lives and we will find the verse true that says, draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. You know what that means? It doesn't matter how spiritual you think you are today. This is why it's encouraging, it excites me as a Christian. No matter how close you think you are to the Lord, you can find places if you're willing to draw closer to the Lord. And He said, I'll draw closer to you. And when He draws closer to you, do you know what that necessarily means? You will have more power in your life. You will have increased victory. You will have less anxiety. I want to live that way. God has made this plan available for every single one of this. I want to live my life so that I can say, when the Lord comes back, even so come, Lord Jesus. I want to be able to say, I fought a good fight. Lord, I gave my all to the best that I knew how to do. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. And now there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I want to hear those words, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.